You want to know what time it is? It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Liberty lovers and ecclesiastites all around the globe, yet is I, once again, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from the Bunkerized Studio, located somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. And we don't have bunches and bunches and bunches of idiots roaming the streets protesting to have their liberties taken away from them. Not in this state. By the way, we did get some of the remnants of Florence yesterday, and evidently there was a tornado in Salem, Massachusetts. Not Salem, New Hampshire now, Salem, Massachusetts. You always have to, with most towns here in New England, you always have to say the state, because multiple states, if not all of them, might have this have a town by the same name. I know, it's ridiculous. Trust me, I live here, I know. It's confusing, especially when you have a city named Salem, which is pretty prominent in two states, but four states have a town or city named Salem. So you definitely have to be clear, when, especially around here, when you say Salem. Salem, which Salem? Because everybody will automatically assume here in New Hampshire, if you say Salem, that you mean Salem, New Hampshire. And you'll freak people out for no reason. So you, this is why a lot of, even in our local advertisements, they'll say the whole name of the, yeah, come visit us in Concord, New Hampshire. Well, because there's a Concord, Massachusetts, there's a Concord, Vermont, and I think there's a Concord, Connecticut. So, and, you know, wherever the radio signal goes, you can confuse the hell out of people. It's like Manchester. Well, Manchester is the biggest city here in New Hampshire, but there's also a Manchester, Vermont. And Manchester, Vermont is very big, believe it or not, is very big in jewelry. So if you say Manchester, especially if you're a jeweler, there are a lot of people that are going to think Manchester, Vermont, even if you mean Manchester, New Hampshire. So that's how confusing it is in this small region of the country. You know, the entire six states is about the size of an average state, especially when you start moving out west. That's how small we are up here. It's not that. I mean, you could be in six different states. Seven, including New York. And you could drive through all seven states, literally, within about an eight or nine hour period. That's how small it is up here, just to give people who are not from around here some perspective. But in any case, here it is, September 19 in the year of our Lord, 2018. And again, we don't have a lot of, although we have the Never Trumpers here, don't get me wrong, we have some Never Trumpers here in New Hampshire, and we have some Never Trumpers that are running for office, and we have some Never Trumpers, the Democrat socialist idiots that will probably win a couple of offices here and there in New Hampshire. Now, here's hoping that Eddie Edwards wins a district, New Hampshire Congressional District 1 coming up in November. By the way, in that district is going to make history for New Hampshire. Because if the Democrat wins, he will be the first openly gay congressional member representing New Hampshire. And he's not a manly gay. If you ever heard him speak, he's definitely a queen. Or if Eddie Edwards wins, he'll be the first African-American. Now, of course, I don't care about any of that kind of stuff. But everybody's going to, you know, point it out. And now that he's won the primary, by the way, I wonder, I haven't heard all this stuff about New Hampshire people being so racist. Eddie Edwards topped what I think it was 6 or 7 contenders for that race. And all the other contenders were white. So I haven't heard since he won the primary. It's like that whole thing about, you know, New Hampshire being overly white and racist has gone away. Now the question is, will independents and Democrats elect a black man in one of the supposedly whitest states in the union? I don't see that here in New Hampshire, by the way. I don't see it being so white, unless they're all of a sudden counting Latinos as being white. You know, they did that with George Zimmerman, right? He's a white Latino. So I guess they're counting them all as white Latinos now. Because there's a whole bunch of blacks and Latinos in this state. And a good number of Asians. I'm not going to lie. There are a good number of Asians. Especially, I think there are more Asian females than males in this state right now. I'm looking at the Asian females. Sorry, I'm not really paying attention to the males. They're not rare. So I don't know how New Hampshire is considered to be one of the whitest states in the union. But that's what they say. It's probably some stupid liberal saying it anyway, because they don't think there's enough diversification. So they want to force diversification? Kind of like busing? Yeah, we see how well that worked out. Any case, it is now time to bring on the wonderful Agent 0010 and see what he has to tell us this morning. Good morning, Agent. How are you?
Good morning, Rod. Glad to be back.
Yeah, we got a lot of interesting stuff coming up. Of course, last week and the week before last, we had a big to-do about Puerto Rico. And how even the big guys still got it wrong, even though they were trying to catch up with us. And I'm sorry, they were trying to catch up because they weren't talking about it until all of a sudden we did. And now, I know some people were saying, well, it was because of, you know, the Hurricane Florence. Really? Well, there was no cooperation or correlation between Florence and Marie. Because we know that they were well, you know, everything was in place for Florence, and they knew that it was going to be, you know, more of a flooding event than probably a wind event. Unlike, you know, Puerto Rico was more of a wind event than flood event, but they did get flooding there on the island as well. So there was a lot less wind damage, but there's going to be a lot more water damage because of all the flooding. But there was no correlation between that and Puerto Rico. And yet all of a sudden everybody was trying to make points about Puerto Rico and saying, well, you know, this is what happened in Puerto Rico, and they're blaming Trump on Puerto Rico, blah, and we already covered all that stuff. Not to mention, even Sean Hannity still gets it wrong about what's going on in Puerto Rico. Somebody ought to put that man on a jet and send him down to Puerto Rico so he can see firsthand how wrong he is. But any case, and so now we've got something else that there are, according to some of my little spy stories, you know, the spy feelers out there, we may be breaking another story here that they may be talking about in a couple of weeks. And that has to do with, well, I'll let you lead into it.
Okay. Now, I want to start off by saying this. As far as this report is concerned, what am I going to talk about? CBS News in 2007. Put out a report, a two-page report, and you can find it on the internet. And in fact, the name of the report is U.S. Strikes in Somalia Reportedly Killed 31. Now, if you go to page 2 of this report, you go to the third chapter, and I'll read it to you right now. The AC-130. Now, mind you, the AC-130 is also called the Spectre. It's a gunship. It has Gatling guns. It has artillery guns. And it brings total devastation and destruction to any area that it flies over and fires.
We're losing you a little bit.
Okay, is this any better?
Yep, that's better.
Okay. Now, it's a 4-engine turboprop-driven aircraft, is armed with 40-millimeter cannon that fires 120 rounds per minute, and by 105-millimeter cannon. It's a howitzer. Normally a field artillery weapon. The plane's latest version of the AC-130U, known as Spooky, also carries
Gatling gun time.
You're fading out.
You're fading out again. 20-millimeter cannon.
That's a big gun. Now,
yeah, the gunships were designed primarily for battlefield use to place saturated fire on mass troops. Now, I'm reading this straight from the report.
Now, for those of you who really can't picture what that thing is, if you've ever seen, was it the second robot movie or Transformer? Or yeah, I think it was the second one. When it said, Spooky, bring the rain, that plane is what he's talking about.
Now, the gunship flew from its base in Djibouti down to the southern tip of Somalia. Now, mind you, this plane, this aircraft, is stationed in Djibouti. Again, this report was filed in 2007. They do not have one. They do not have two. Djibouti has three gunships.
Now that's a major firepower.
That would destroy, how can I put this?
Anything on the ground is not going to live.
No, nothing, because it's just going to start raining artillery shells. It's going to start raining pure steel and lead and cause total devastation. Now, along with these three planes is a squadron of F-15 planes.
Those are nice.
Marine F-15E Strike Eagle Fighter Bomber. Please, listen very carefully to what I've just said, and I will say it again. F-15E Strike Eagle Fighter / Bomber. Dual-purpose plane.
It'll mess you up.
It'll take on a dogfight and never back down in the sky and tear up the ground if it has to. Now, with this being said, there are also other forces in the area. Now, again, you can look this up. You can type in on your search engine, Third Special Forces Group. Now, the Third Special Forces Group, their main headquarters is out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I've been to Fort Bragg many, many times. In fact, I got my butt kicked at Fort Bragg when I went to Sears School.
It's a big base.
It's huge. It's a city within itself.
Yeah.
But a lot of that area is also training grounds. Much of the area is training ground. Now, mind you, bear this in mind. Even though they're headquartered out of Fort Bragg, their AO, Area of Operations.
So they could be deployed anywhere.
No, they're in Africa.
No, I'm just saying, even though that's their main base, they can be deployed anywhere.
True, but going along with special forces and special operations, each group has its area of responsibility. And for the Third Special Forces, their area of operations is Africa. They're also located in Djibouti, along with Mali, along with Niger. They're deployed in a few African nations. This being said, if you go to a map
and you pinpoint the location of not just Djibouti, but all teams of the special forces, they're basically surrounding.
You're fading out again.
Thank you. They're surrounding one country in particular, and that country is Libya. So to say that Aviano Air Force Base was the closest area of assistance for Benghazi is a complete and total lie.
Okay.
Pure myth. There were two drones. Now, mind you, Djibouti also has
drones. So there are actually drones there, too.
Rod, when I tell you this, you're going to go, excuse me? They have 16 drones.
16?
I am looking right now at a website. It's called Defense Web. DefenseWeb.co.za. And I will read this to you right now, second paragraph of this article. Every day, 16 UAVs, drones, and four
jet fighters take off or land at Camp Limonier, which is the name of the base in Djibouti.
In Djibouti.
As they take part in U.S. military counterterrorism operations in the Horn of Africa and the Middle East. This is...
Okay, so you keep changing it up, by the way.
This is a report citing a letter to the U.S. Congress sent by Deputy Defense Secretary Ashton B. Carter on August 20th. This report... This report was written in 2012.
Aha.
That is the same year that the personnel in Benghazi were attacked.
Yep.
Yep.
This is under, let's refresh people's memory, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Now, here is a breakdown. They have the Predator, the Reaper, the U-28A surveillance aircraft, and here's the kicker, get ready, F-15E Strike Eagles. By the way, they also have the C-130 for these transport.
Okay.
Push the C-130 aside. They have three variations of drones, 16.
Now, do some of those drones have firing capabilities?
I was about to get to that.
Okay.
All three of these drones have one thing in common other than being unmanned, and that is they're also firing platforms.
They can be armed. Now, what are these things capable of carrying? Can they have guns on them, or they just have missiles?
Missiles.
Okay.
Now, Here's what's funny, and you and I spoke about this yesterday.
Yeah.
The 449th Expeditionary Squadron. This group is basically part of the Special Operations family. They are Air Force Special Operations.
Those guys are badass.
Get ready for this one. Along with all these planes that are in Djibouti, they also have paratroopers. These are guys that go in, fight like unbelievable.
Yeah, these guys
are well talented when it comes to tactical situations and concealment. These are individuals that go in and get downed pilots.
Yeah, these Air Force guys are they're special forces almost.
These individuals are amazing when it comes to doing their job, and they are part of the Special Operations family. Now, with that being said, they have the capabilities of going in and getting people, along with the Special Forces from the 3rd Special Forces Group, located right around Libya. So, ladies and gentlemen,
Libya.
The complete and total lie. It's an utter lie that Aviano was the only airbase, and that the special operations.
Now, Aviano is in Italy, not on Africa next to Libya.
It's in northern Italy. So it was a complete and total lie when they said that Aviano was the only airbase that could handle the situation, and also that the special operations in Europe were the closest ones. That is a complete total lie. Niger. Yeah.
Yeah. Take a look at a map. Niger is just south of Libya. Mali is southwest of Libya. And
why do I know about the Mali special operations teams? Because they're stationed in
Mali, Niger, and what was the third one?
Mali, Niger, also Djibouti, but they're also located in other North African nations, like Nigeria.
So we had all these assets right there within, basically as a crow flies, minutes versus what they were saying out of Italy would have taken hours and wouldn't have been able to save the ambassador anyway, which is now, as we know, is a complete and total lie. They told all of these places, all of these people, all of these military personnel whose job it is to do what they would have been called to do, who've been thoroughly and completely well-trained to do what they would have been called to do, who wanted to do what they were trained to do. Even in Italy, they were all told to stand down.
Here's the shocking part. There was a C-130 Spectre gunship in the air, and there were also two drones, as well as other F-15Es flying missions. They were grounded.
Didn't we see Djibouti,
and the only planes that were left in the air were the two drones watching the situation as it happened in real time.
Didn't we have some sort of drone footage, and so they could get drones in the air and get the drones there to watch everything in real time, but they couldn't get anything else. I mean, that, I always thought that was a little weird. We could get drones there.
Yep.
So we can look at what's happening in real time, live, but we couldn't get anything else there.
One of the lies that they said about this whole situation is that it would have also taken too long to get the special forces or the special operations team that were in Europe prepped up and ready to go. Because one minute it was uniform, then no uniform, then uniforms, and then no uniform, and they all finally came down for a complete and total stand down. Problem is, though, that there were teams chomping at the bit in Mali. Mind you, like I said, special forces were stationed.
Back
up a second. They didn't have time to get them ready.
Exactly.
That's a lie, because they're always ready. It's not like you see in the movies. They're laying at home in bed with their wife or their girlfriend. They call them up and they got to get into their expensive Mustang or whatever kind of sports car they have and speed towards the airport. They're already there.
The problem is that was a situation that was created by the administration, and in particular, Secretary of State Clinton. Why? Because it was one minute uniform, the next minute no uniform, uniform, no uniform. They created the waste of time. And then they finally said, oh, well, we don't have enough time to get them there.
Why would they care if they were in uniform or not?
Because, see, here's the funny part. They said that they did not want to cross into an international border, or they weren't sure about the conditions for crossing into an international country or sovereign country in uniform or without a uniform. The fact of the matter
is, You have a U.S. diplomat. You have a U.S. diplomat that's in trouble. Of course you can cross the border. And you'd probably want your guys to be uniform so the guys on the ground don't start shooting at them.
Uniform or no uniform is irrelevant, because they would have been shot at anyway.
Now, their main problem is the fact that the Libyan government would have protested in... They wouldn't have said anything, because they would have just simply said, get them the hell out of here, so the heat would die down. They didn't care. That is a fact. Not to mention the fact also that the individuals in Mali, because like I said, they're stationed in Bamako at the American Embassy.
Bamako is the capital of Mali. I was working in, believe it or not, this place actually does exist.
In Mali,
and they were my response team in the event that things got bad. They would come in, and we'd work together and evacuate after destroying certain things and get the hell out of Dodge.
Now, we know some of these North African countries are they're predominantly Muslim. So, that takes that out of the equation, too, because Mali is predominantly Muslim, am I correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So they couldn't say that they were coming from a non-Muslim area into a Muslim area, so that was a problem, because they're all stationed in Muslim countries, which is a lot of Americans don't realize and understand that we have bases and operations in countries that are predominantly Muslim. So, no, we don't think all Muslims are bad.
Well, let's also not forget something else. They turned around and they were talking about air support to get them out. Here's another problem. And the fact is that we also have helicopters in these countries, American helicopters.
We got birds that can come in and go out, especially the ones in Niger, which, like I said, is directly south of Libya.
Okay, now what kind of choppers are these? We're not just talking
Blackhawks.
About. There you go.
They're Blackhawks. They could have gone in, light up the area.
Now, here's where the problem is. The airport was still under government control.
The airport was available for any American craft to come in and go out of.
The airport was not being occupied by the Al-Qaeda terrorists that were attacking the CIA compound.
Airport was wide open. The birds could have flown in, landed there, waited until every plane was evacuated by special forces out the compound,
and they could have been taken out. But nobody actually looked at the fact that the airport was free and clear of any kind of fighting.
Well, they didn't have any drones over there. Wasn't that one of the things that they said they didn't know what was happening at the airport?
That is a load of crap. That is a lie.
They knew exactly what was going on at the airport. Now, if we want to play with words, okay, let's play with words. Let's do that. We didn't know what was happening at the airport, like over at baggage claim.
Inside where the restaurant is.
For all we knew, there could have been people there lying in wait. Okay, so let's play with those words. But the fact is that they knew that the flight line was open.
Well, who would be lying in wait at the airport unless they knew who was, they knew ahead? Well, I got a lot of questions about this, but we're up against the break right now, so I'm going to hold those until after the break. We're going to get into this part. Do you actually think, after all is said and done, that this was actually a setup for the ambassador for some reason? And there are a lot of theories behind that, but we're going to get into that right after the break, so don't go anywhere, folks.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosett Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosettJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
So we are speaking with Agent 0010, and we're talking, going back in time a little bit, talking about the events surrounding just before, during, and after the Benghazi incident, when Hillary Clinton, the most qualified person in the world history to ever run for the presidency of the United States, was Secretary of State. So, and of course, we had the smartest at this particular. Now, understand this, folks. At this particular point in time, now let's go back in time. We have the most qualified woman ever to run for the presidency was a Secretary of State. The smartest man to ever be president, supposedly he had the highest IQ of any president we've ever had, was president at the time, Barack Obama. And they were all running around acting and didn't know what to do. Listening to this report so far, plus what I've already known and what most of us know about what happened that night, we don't think that they were being dumb, that this was purposeful. And they were giving us excuses about some of this stuff, like the airport. Well, you know, the airport was occupied by, you know, could have been occupied by hostile forces. I remember him saying, Obama saying that, by the way. And as we know, that wasn't the case. So the airport that was nearby was completely open. So they were playing with words on us, and the media was complicit in it, by the way. I'm not going to deny that. The airport was accessible by U.S. Even if it wasn't, it could have been quickly secured, could it not?
God, yes. Many of the teams practice that, because here's what we need to understand. When it comes to any kind of an operation, the taking of an Air Force base or taking of an airport is extremely urgent, because that is method of entry and exit. And the airport is crucial, because at the very end, when you speak to the survivors of Benghazi, they will all tell you the same thing. That is, a private jet came in and picked up
the CIA employees, the CIA analysts, and it was, get ready for this, a Libyan Air Force transport that took the rest of the personnel out of Libya. The airport was wide open. Nothing was going on. The focus was not of conquering the nation, but eliminating the American influence in that country, in particular, the CIA cell in Benghazi, along with the ambassador. Now, you asked me, do I think it was a setup on Ambassador Stevens? Well, think about this. Let's break this down logically, shall we, ladies and gentlemen? Now, when you send an ambassador to represent your country to another country, who do they deal with?
Well, they deal with the leadership of that particular country. Like, our ambassador usually speaks to their Secretary of the Interior, and oftentimes will actually speak to the President, Prime Minister, whoever. They're basically the mouthpiece for our president.
So exactly.
So whenever something happens, what normally happens in that country is that the president of that particular foreign country will automatically demand that the ambassador come to their office and see them. And so kind of like, you tell your president or whatever. And so this is...
Exactly. They conduct diplomacy with the leadership or representatives of that other nation. That was what Ambassador Stevens did. Now, let's take a look at other things outside of that. Ambassador Stevens dealing with the diplomacy in Libya, but the previous year, in 2011, there was an American from Arizona. His last name is Turi, T-U-R-I. He is an arms dealer. And at the time, he was living in Libya. He was hired by the CIA during the Obama administration to basically sell or give heavy weapons to the Al-Qaeda in Libya. Weapons were being funneled. They were basically, what the administration did was, hey, we're selling weapons to Saudi Arabia. We're selling weapons to this other country. And we're selling weapons to this other country. What the fact was is that those weapons were being funneled from those countries with permission and under condition from the Obama administration to Libya, to Mr. Turi. Mr. Turi would then turn around and give these weapons to the Al-Qaeda in Libya, who then turned around and funneled those weapons to Syria, to the Al-Nusra Front, which is Al-Qaeda in Syria. So while Mr. Obama was taking claim and credit for what SEAL Team 6 did in the killing of Osama bin Laden, he was also arming the Al-Qaeda in Syria all that time. So he was arming the people that murdered our friends and family, especially two of my family members, in the World Trade Center. So he's taking credit for SEAL Team 6, but yet arming Al-Qaeda in Syria. Why? For regime change. He wanted to get rid of the current leadership in Syria. Again, why is this? Well, he did say, don't cross this red line, and they crossed it, and he looked like a total and complete punk. So how do you take care of it? Oh, we're going to do it the weasel way. We're going to take these people that are involved with this organization that murdered Americans. We're going to give them the weapons to take you out for us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is called a proxy war. It has happened throughout the ages in human history. Basically, yeah. Like I said before, it's a punk way of doing things. Because he also made another promise. There will be no more American boots on the ground, blah, 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 fucking blah. So, you know what? I'm sorry. But what he did was use Mr. Turi. Now, was Ambassador Stevens part of this? possibility is that he was part of it. But because he knew about it and was making, before that, Gaddafi, before he was murdered in 2011, right around the same time that this deal was going on with Mr. Turi, well, guess what happened? Gaddafi didn't want to be part of it. He did not want his country part of it. He did not want this to happen. And all these supposed innocent people and villagers that Muammar Gaddafi was going after, these were villages that were sympathetic and supportive of the Al-Qaeda in Libya. Now, were many of them innocent? Chances are they were. But these districts were in support of the Al-Qaeda in Libya.
Now, people have to remember now, Al-Qaeda was talking about a complete worldwide jihad or holy war, and that any, even nation, Muslim nations that did not follow their way of the Quran would suffer the wrath of Allah even worse than the infidel. And that was Gaddafi. He did not follow the Al-Qaeda brand of Islam.
No, he did not. No, he did not. But here's another funny part. When Muammar Gaddafi was finally captured, before that had happened, before he was murdered by Al-Qaeda, the country of Libya was being bombed by NATO. Now, it will say to people that, oh, well, we were doing this for the sake of the people. Really? Is that why your bombs were also landing on innocent villages? NATO? Is that the reason why? Here's the truth of the matter. In 2009, Muammar Gaddafi decided that he wanted to create a unifying monetary system for the entire African continent, and it would be upheld by a gold standard. Now, if you take a look at Africa, the entire continent of Africa, nobody, and I mean nobody, can mine more gold. No country, no continent can mine more gold than Africa. Not to mention the fact that if you take all the oil that would have supported this gold standard, well, guess what? That it would have been a rock solid monetary fund. Not to mention that Muammar Gaddafi threw a third link in that, into that chain, where he turned around and he said, if you want to, if they want to buy oil from us Africans, they're going to have to pay with gold. Thus further strengthening their gold standard. Well, guess what? This would have destroyed the euro. It would have destroyed the American dollar. So in order to get rid of Muammar Gaddafi and convince NATO to be part of it, the United States administration used that excuse, when the truth of the matter is that they didn't care about the gold standard. They just wanted to get rid of Assad in Syria. And Muammar Gaddafi was in the way, and therefore sold this bag of goods to the European Union and to NATO, and they started conducting these airstrikes. Now, would that monetary system have destroyed the euro in a heartbeat?
Well, and the reason is because it all, well, the American dollar and the euro is built on being backed by the government's word and debt, which mm-hmm. is why now people don't, a lot of people, well, because people are young, a lot of people are young today, they do not realize that the United States used to be on the gold standard, and that President Richard M. Nixon took us off, and he took us off because we were starting to get into a deficit territory, and foreign countries were buying too much of our debt. And in order to pay it, because we were a gold standard country, we were actually shipping gold to our debtors to pay them. And by taking us off of the gold standard, that means we get to keep our gold reserves and pay them in other ways, basically with IOUs. By us not being – now, if we were still on the gold standard, oh, we would have been in cahoots with Gaddafi on this one. That you, do you know what kind of economic powerhouse the USA and frankly, when Canada was also with us, and when we went off the gold standard, Canada went off. So all of North America basically was taken off the gold standard in 1972. Can you imagine if we stayed on it and then help Gaddafi do this. Yeah, Asia would not be happening right now.
Well, we also have to take a look at another thing, that if this monetary system, which would have been called the gold dinar, the African gold dinar, which would have been very apropos because it would have been a gold standard supporting the dinar or their currency, and it would have been solely for the continent of Africa. Africa would have, something would have happened to Africa that people keep screaming, oh, this has got to stop, blah, blah, blah. And what that would have done is it would have taken the entire continent, all countries in Africa, out of third world status. So, and it would have made them a first world continent.
So instead of Asia, especially China, coming on strong now, it would be Africa.
Yes.
And you probably wouldn't have going on what's happening now in South Africa, too. So all of this was done because basically one man got his feelings hurt.
One man looked like a complete and total punk. I'll say it, because he is a punk. Because I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but where I come from, where somebody is such a smooth talker and so charming with his words, that's the one you got to be careful with, because he's a con artist. They're flim-flam artists. And they keep saying how well-spoken and this and that. He's a con artist. Plain and simple. When somebody can be that much of a smooth talker, that's the one you got to be careful with, because that's the one that'll probably end up walking away with, oh, I don't know, your wife after he's taken your daughter's virginity and your entire bank account. That's the one you got to be careful with. So he got his feelings hurt like a punk, because he looked like a total idiot to the world, because he drew this red line and he thought that the Syrians would say, okay, we'll listen to you. Well, they didn't. Looked like a total complete punk. He wanted regime change. He demanded regime change.
Yes, he did.
So he did it the punk's way, the weasel way, by using other lives, sacrificing the lives of others to get what he wanted. And the fact remains is that what he wanted was Assad to be removed. He was all part of him and Obama. They were buddies. They were very close. Sarkozy took the bait from Obama, and NATO got involved. So while Mr. Turi was funneling weapons from these other countries to include Saudi Arabia, which was part of the deal, the agreement with the Obama administration, and Turkey, they were funneling these weapons that they supposedly bought from the United States with permission from the United States to Libya, to Mr. Turi, who then sent them out to Syria via the Al-Qaeda in Libya. Now, with that being said, they tried to go after Mr. Turi, and Mr. Turi made a threat. And that threat was, you come after me, I will destroy Hillary Clinton. I will publish everything I have. And even if you do get to me physically, it will still be published. And the world will know about Hillary Clinton. Have we heard about Mr. Turi ever since? No, we haven't.
No, nothing. Zero.
Oh, and mind you, when he made that threat, he was under investigation by the Department of Justice. When he made that threat, mysteriously, all charges dropped. Well, very mysterious, isn't it?
Well, it's for those who can put two and two together and come up with the answer of four instead of five, it's not very mysterious. We always knew that there was some stuff going on there, but now you're starting to connect some of these dots that a lot of people could not connect in the past because our media didn't do their job.
Well, here's the funny part, okay? When everybody's saying, well, what does that have to do with the Benghazi, with the CIA cell? Who do you think connected Mr. Turi to the Al-Qaeda in Libya? They've been there for years. They knew who's who. They had all the contacts. They knew exactly who to talk to. They brought this group and that person together, and that's why it happened. But all of a sudden, when the whole process of possibly leaving Libya and no longer giving these weapons because of Muammar Gaddafi's protests and Ambassador Stevens agreeing with Muammar Gaddafi? They knew Ambassador Stevens was in Benghazi. They knew he was in that compound. They were following him. They went after him. They did what they wanted to do in order to continue the weapons flow. That is, they took it out. Not to mention, they just said, oh, CIA. Yeah, they got to go too.
Well, that, of course, you know, it's always a big bad. Well, this is why people say it's always the big bad American's fault, because we have people in positions of power like Clinton and Obama back in the day who did very nefarious stuff.
You know what? People may be asking right now, what makes you think that this was a situation? Okay, like I said before, 16 UAVs sitting on a flight line. Well, excuse me, 14, because two of them are right over Benghazi, the compound. So you got a squadron of F-15 Eagles, Marine. These guys are used to flying low. Marine pilots are they're amazing low-level flyers. They can strafe it on a dime. Then you had three gunships, all of them sitting on a flight line. You had all the special forces, special operations teams surrounding Libya told to sit on their hands. You tell me. And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, well, the special forces and special operations in Europe will never get there in time. Oh, the planes from Aviano in northern Italy, they won't get there in time.
So don't sit at all, even if they could get there. But they didn't have to come from there anyway. Yeah.
Well, the fact remains is, let's say hypothetically they killed everybody. It doesn't matter, because they could have still gone in there and eliminated the threat for the future by actually wiping out that Al-Qaeda that took down that compound. Mm-hmm. So you've just eliminated another threat. But no, they were left intact. Mm-hmm. Kind of odd.
Yeah.
Very odd.
Gotta wonder why that is.
Now, it's time, Rod.
Yes.
It's time. It's what time, you may ask? It's time, Dumbass of the Week.
Here we go. Now, I already guessed a person, but I got it wrong. So let's see who this week's winner is. We should come up with an award to send them to.
Oh, yeah, I should. I should, if I can just get their addresses. The Dumbass of the Week is a nameless person. But this individual proves that watching the news can at times be very edifying or very educational. Why? Because if you watch the news, you would always learn that whenever the president, no matter if it's President Trump, Obama, but it doesn't matter who, when they go to Andrews Joint Base to fly out on Air Force One, they always take this little thing called Marine One. Now, Marine One is not a limousine that drives down the road. No. Marine One is a helicopter, and helicopters do what? Oh, yeah, they fly. So when you fly from the White House, flying in the air, because that's what flying is, in the air, it goes over things. It goes over many things. And then when it lands in the base, near Air Force One. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Seems that somebody this morning does not watch the news and has no clue as to the proper protocol of what the president does to get to Air Force One from the White House. Why do I say this? Because this one particular woman who must be a liberal, decides that she's going to drop her kids off at school and she's going to stop President Trump from doing anything today. So she took her family SUV, drove it to Andrews, parked it in a way that blocked the gate and says, I'm not leaving. I'm not going to let President Trump do this. Somebody forgot to tell her that he flies into Andrews. He doesn't drive to Andrews in a motorcade. He doesn't do that.
Stop him from doing what?
Oh, from getting on Air Force One and doing any more damage. So, and that's right, I said it very ghetto. He don't do that. He don't drive there. Okay, that's the New York in me that just came out. He don't do that. He flies. So somebody forgot to tell her that blocking the gate is just going to get you A, arrested, B, in bigger trouble than that, and C, no results.
So, why would you even think that you could even block a military base anyway? Are you really? I mean,
It was hysterical because it seems that she made some kind of a threat where they actually had to call out the bomb squad, or the bomb team, and they had to go in there with a robot after they dragged her out of the car. So guess what, folks? This woman has been arrested, and she's also been awarded Dumbass of the Week.
I can just see her kids waiting right now outside the school after school lets out. Where's Mommy? Mommy's in jail.
Mommy, dumb as a rock, because she didn't watch the news and found out that the president flew into Andrews and didn't drive there.
Oh,
Mommy's an idiot.
Good God Almighty. Whenever you think they can't get any dumber, they surprise you and definitely get dumber. thank you again so much for that absolutely fantastic report. We're going to keep on top of this and keep adding to the details as we discover them on this whole Benghazi thing, plus working on a few other things. Thank you again, Agent. It's always a pleasure.
The pleasure is all mine, and you all have a great one, and God bless.
You know, one of the things that you really, you know, that's a perfect dumbass. It's kind of like Time Magazine's Person of the Year instead of a particular person. They say Person of the Year is everybody. Really? Well, she's not. This person trying to block Andrews Air Force Base or Joint Base Andrews is not. She's typical of your typical leftists. They have no clue about anything. Because they think everything's about them and that only they can do something about it. And they just turn out to be complete and total dumbass idiots. Dumbass of the week. I agree with it totally. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.
It's Thursday night and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher.